Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 22nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of Agrivisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the grain elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, USDA is going to do more inspections at some meat processing plants. The U.S. has apparently shipped old beef to Japan, well, at least older than the regs allow, and trade reps from the EU, the U.S., and India are in London this week. They're hoping to breathe new life into the stalled world trade talks. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear some of Daryl Good's thoughts on the soybean market. If you subscribe to our weekly newsletter, you'll know Good penned an article titled, "Is the Soybean Market Bulletproof?" We'll have some of his thoughts. Peter Levitt's away today, so just after the bottom of the hour, a real treat. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will join us right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, February 27th for our all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting. This year, our headliner is Dan Bossi of Ag Resource. He'll discuss corn as food, fuel, and feed, and we'll have a look at the very latest from the corn-based ethanol industry and the future of alternative fuels. We'll also have our market projections for corn, soybeans, and cash basis, agricultural weather with AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser and Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, and U of I economist Gary Schnicke will have the latest on crop insurance. Registration at the Beef House in Covington begins at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, with the first panel scheduled for 9 Eastern. The day's activities are free. Lunch is $8.75. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Time now to take a look at the numbers as they settled on this Thursday afternoon from the Chicago Board of Trade. Nearby March wheat at 489.5 settlement price. They were up 13.5 for the day. May at 502, up 11.5. March corn futures 434.5, up 8.25. The May contract at $4.47.5, up 8.5. And July at 457, up 8.75. September futures $4.40.75, up 7.25. December contract 427.75, your harvest month due contract high, up 4.75 for the day. March soybeans 783.75, up 2.5. The May at $8.50, up 2.5. And July 815.25, up 3.5. November's at 837.75, up 5.75. March bean meal at 231.40. That's a dime higher. The March bean oil at 30.32, up 20 for the afternoon. At the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle March contract off 80 cents at 99.22.5, and the February live cattle unchanged at 93.47.5, and the April contract 96.22.5, off 17.5 cents today. April lean hogs up a nickel at $67.25. The outside market, April crude oil at $60.85 a barrel, 78 cents higher. The CRB index at 312.70, up 434. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now 67 points lower at 12,671.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of Agrivisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, last week you told us that the market needed to go through the contract highs in the corn pit fairly soon, otherwise risk a lot of downside. It did that in a big way.
It sure did, and as it made new highs, that brought in new buying. Now, I guess from the fundamental point of view, I think there's a couple things that kind of gave this market this late winter uplift. Is seasonally, anytime you get past middle February, the seasonals really begin to turn upward, and I think that's kind of what we saw kick in here. This last week of February, we got a few more days here next week. So we kind of had that, I think, kick in. A lot of your speculative seasonal traders begin to see that, and I think that brought in some new buying. crude oil values look like they've put in a winter low and now kind of poised to strengthen into the normal seasonal pattern of climbing into maybe an April-May high as demand for gasoline begins to increase just before the summer vacation period. So that's kind of given a little more boost to the corn market, having crude oil here at $60 versus the $50 it was here 2-3 weeks ago. So that's kind of helped out. And something that I continue to believe in for a long time is that I do believe this market has a lot of inflationary pressures under it, the default mode is going to be to continue to show inflation. I think there's a couple weak sectors of the economy. The automobile economy is kind of weak. The housing market is a little weak. But the consumer price index came out here yesterday showing a little higher than expected inflation pace. So that kind of brought in or that renewed that inflationary factor that we haven't had in this market for a few months anyway, and that kind of, I think, helped lift everything higher as people begin to prepare for more inflationary type activity as we go on down the road.
Do you think that'll have an impact at all on the big push from Washington for biofuels and ethanol production, whether it's from corn or cellulosic?
Well, no, I don't think inflation is going to have any impact on what Washington does with biodiesel or renewable fuel policy. I think while that's not necessarily set in concrete, I do think there's a general consensus is that renewable fuels is a way to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. So I think whether it's coming from corn-based ethanol or bio-based ethanol, or it may come from sugar and whatnot, I do think that funding toward renewable fuels will continue, and you know, it could even accelerate some, I think, over the next few years. So, you know, I don't know. Inflation, I think, is going to be a problem for the Fed. And I think they're going to start raising interest rates. They've been kind of steady here for a few months. But I think the resumption of the uptrend or the climbing rate market will begin to take hold here. And that's going to be kind of rough on the stock market. I don't think they can raise interest rates fast enough to slow down inflation, but it could be somewhat of a dampening influence on the markets.
And the bottom line on inflation, though, is, of course, that it takes more input dollars to get the same out of an acre of corn. So that's what you're seeing in part here. Let's talk a little bit about the next month and a half or 2 months. Last week you told us we needed to go through the contract highs if it was going to continue to move up. It's done that. We've got to get through the March, end of March, a planning intentions report. Are you expecting a sideways market through then, a higher market?
Well, my work with, and this is just one guess, it's just my guess. My guess is that, see, we're 6 weeks up out of the low point that we made prior to the January report. So this current round of price strength, now we did have a breather there a little bit first few days there, February, but for the most part, we've been in a six-week climb. Next week will be 7 weeks up. My work kind of suggests that we can continue that into 7 weeks, especially corn. Now, beans, I think, might get, they're already starting to show a little toppiness here where corn was up 8 cents, wheat was up like 13, and beans were only able to close here 2 to 3 higher. So I had beans maybe beginning to turn down or run out of steam first, and then it would be the corn market that would run out of gas maybe about next week. So usually after you have a market climb of 6 or 7 weeks, it's not uncommon for it to go into a period of consolidation or take a breather or even a setback. So I'm kind of in the camp that we're kind of close here within a week. I don't want to necessarily be at trying to pick tops. I'm not picking tops. I'm just trying to pick a point where I think this market's going to run out of upward momentum and then begin to take a breather. And I think you'll see that take hold sometime here during March. My guess is that as we get closer to the March 30th report and closer to visuals of what a spring weather pattern is shaping up to be, the market may have buyer's remorse. It may begin to have some second guessing, some doubts and whatnot. So we kind of go into a phase of don't know what's going to happen, what shoe's going to drop next. So that's kind of where I'm in the camp. So I'm kind of looking for the market to kind of run out of momentum here in the next few days. Probably, you know, we could maybe see the high of the year on WILL's Outlook Day. How about that, Todd?
Well, if we get everybody selling.
Well, everybody will be there. They won't be able to sell. Cell phones won't work over there.
No, I guarantee the cell phones will work over there.
Yours works. Mine don't work very good over there, so I could miss the whole move. You know that?
Well, I hope not.
But I think next week is a point where you know, people that if they have some old crop grain around that they maybe need to kind of peel out before they get busy in the field, they probably ought to be maybe looking at a spot to maybe let some of that go.
Okay, so and I want to make sure we get the soybeans in here. We don't have much time left, but the soybeans are really big, burdensome supply, I guess, on the world market. You say it's going to run out of steam first. Is this the reason why, and how fast might it consolidate back to the downside? You think?
Well, my guess is it's going to run out of steam first, because I do think South American hedge pressures will take hold at some point in time, but I don't think that when we run out of steam here is necessarily the high for the year. I think beans can kind of regroup and come back in that May time frame. Of course, that will depend upon what kind of spring weather pattern we're in. If we're wet, this will be it for beans. If it's dry and we get the corn planters really moving early and getting them moving fast, then beans will regroup and come back for a May high.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, and he will join us next Tuesday at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can read complete details about that on our website at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Ed Kieser's forecast for this evening says mostly clear skies across the two-state region, some patchy fog forming overnight. Lows will range from 18 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the far northeastern parts of Indiana and in the south. 28 in the south, rather, of Indiana. Tomorrow, patchy fog early, otherwise partly to mostly sunny. Ed will join us again at the bottom of the hour. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA plans stepped-up inspections beginning in April at 5% of the nation's meat plants. The policy is designed to increase scrutiny of processing plants where the threat of E. coli is high. Plants with fewer risks and better food handling records will be inspected less often. As many as 1,200 U.S. meat plants might see increased inspections by next January. A shipment of U.S. beef to Japan evidently contained beef from cattle under 30 months of age in violation of Japanese rules saying product must only come from cattle under 21 months of age. A Tyson spokesperson says a shipment contained 95 pounds of boneless short ribs that were from cattle between 21 and 30 months old. U.S. officials are talking to their Japanese counterparts in an effort to minimize ramifications of the violation. The Environmental Protection Agency has issued a report saying that U.S. emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases have increased by 16.3% since 1990. The report says emissions increased in 2005, the last year for which data is available, by 0.8%. Trade representatives from the U.S., European Union, and India are now meeting in London to see if they can break an impasse over agricultural trade that would jumpstart the Doha round of world trade talks. Meanwhile, New Mexico Republican Senator Pete Domenici is calling for extension of the president's fast-track trade authority.
The president knows how long it takes these things to get through here and how important it is that we have that kind of power in existence. This will give the president the power to negotiate certain trade agreements and provide expedited legislative procedure for consideration of legislation. And it just makes sure that the underlying bill that provides that is done in a timely manner, that we get on with getting it adopted. So Congress has the constitutional authority to impose the duties and regulate foreign commerce, and the president has the sole authority to negotiate international agreements and exerts broad power over U.S. foreign policy. So we want to make sure that that one underlying law doesn't expire.
Trade promotion authority expires at the end of June. Democratic leadership has been mixed on whether to consider an extension. U.S. Energy Secretary Sam Bodman says the administration is continuing to look into creation of an ethanol reserve. A major question is whether the U.S. ethanol industry would be capable of ramping up production to a level that meets the nation's mandatory renewable fuels standard and, at the same time, provides supplies for an ethanol reserve. Meanwhile, fuel transportation experts are warning that the sector will be scrambling to keep pace with the exploding ethanol industry. Robert Reynolds is president of the fuel transportation company Downstream Alternatives. Reynolds says there's concern about where the ethanol market is going to be this year. Experts suggest 2 billion gallons will go to the south, leaving roughly 4 billion gallons up for grabs. Movement to California would require more rail. Movement to the Gulf would require more barges. And Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez says there will be no easing of trade restrictions with Cuba, despite pressure from members of Congress and business groups. Many U.S. agricultural exporters would like to increase their business with Cuba. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. You can read more about him and see all the things that are happening next Tuesday at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House. Just visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, the price of soybeans is high, really high, when you consider how many bushels of the crop are in storage around the globe. We'll hear a report on whether or not a drastic drop in the bean market might be coming. There are a lot of places in the world that grow soybeans. U.S. farmers harvest their bean crop in August, September, and October. The same goes in China. And then 6 months later, in the months of March, April, and May, farmers in South America bring in a harvest of the oilseed. The miracle crop grows well in lots of places around the globe. That's why there are a lot of soybeans available today. And the prospect for an historic amount in a few short months, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good.
We have what looks like a record harvest coming on in South America to add to those supplies, yet soybean prices have continued to move sharply higher, primarily in sympathy with corn, but kind of no matter what we throw at it in terms of old crop fundamentals, the soybean market really just continues to show strength.
This strength, a tendency for the price of soybeans at the Chicago Board of Trade to stay strong or move higher, is based on the idea that the current surpluses could quickly turn into shortages as some of the acres dedicated to soybean are switched to corn to feed the expanding global ethanol industry.
The question is really in front of the market, what kind of acreage shift will we see in 2007, and how much of a decline in acreage would really translate into a shortage in 2007. And so the market eventually has to own up to whatever acres we do plant.
In his February 12th weekly Outlook newsletter that can be found on the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.uiuc.edu, the U of I ag economist asked and answered that acreage question. He says U.S. farmers could plant 12 million fewer acres of soybeans this spring, and the world would still have plenty of supply.
The problem I have is with the talk of a 5 to 6 million acre cut in acreage translating into a shortage of soybeans next year. Unless we have significant yield problems, that kind of reduction will not give us a shortage anytime soon in the soybean market.
Eventually, he says, the market will have to own up to the actual projected soybean supply, and the price will go down. Predicting when is a tougher question. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, now joins us for our Thursday afternoon look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well. Well, Dan was ready to push the market higher. Daryl says the beans, they can probably still go just a bit. The end of that conversation, he really thinks that they can continue to go for a while, even right on through the March 30 report before anything begins to think about, anybody really begins to think about the number of bushels that are out there on the marketplace. What do you see?
Well, I guess I certainly don't see anything that shows that we're at a stopping point here at right now. I think a farmer's got to step back and look at, you know, the levels that we're at, though, and you know, I've said this all along, we need to take advantage of this market when we can and take advantage of the opportunity, but respect the ability of the market to go higher. And there will come a time where the market will relax and believe that there's, you know, enough supply out here to meet the demand. But, you know, whether that's next week or 2 months from now or a year from now, that's the question.
You know, that really is the question, and farmers can look at these prices and say that they can make good money at it. Pulling the trigger is a different kind of concept for them. If and when they do that, is there a way for them effectively, efficiently to protect the upside in the marketplace?
Yeah, we're looking at a couple of things. One is to use put options, to put a floor in there. You can put a floor in that's at profitable, very profitable levels, and you can do that and still take advantage of the market going higher. That's really my preferred way of doing it. You can make sales and buy call options. You're not quite as efficient to cover your upside in that, but you've got real good downside protected. So a couple ways, along with the crop insurance. The crop insurance on the revenue products do put a floor in for you on their own.
Yeah, can you tell me, we need to get the bids in for the day from Lexington too. What might they be, please?
$4 on all the way here, $4.13 on the Feb, and $4 on new crop, $7.47 on beans, $8.03 for new crop.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
And that's Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. He'll join us over at the Beef House next Tuesday. We hope you will, too. Things kick off, registration at least, at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern time. There is a charge at the noon hour for the meal only. Otherwise, you can come on over and step into that meeting anytime you want, free of charge. The meal is $8.75. In a couple of minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Ed Kieser here. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A coalition of minority groups at the University of Illinois says the end of Chief Illiniwek is just the start to creating a campus atmosphere free of discrimination.
A press conference organized by STOP, or Students Transforming Oppression and Privilege, says the university needs to better educate diversity both in and out of the classroom as the Urbana campus becomes more diverse. The groups also want to see U of I administrators eliminate the chief trademark from clothing and other items. Studying at Champaign's Parkland College will be more expensive starting this summer. Parkland students have to pay from $4 up to $20 more per credit hour next year, depending on whether they're from the area or out of state. The current tuition fees are between $74 and $315 a credit hour. The Board of Trustees approved the tuition fee increase to balance the rise in health, salary, and utility costs. Parkland's controller, Chris Randall, says the mandatory fees of $3 per credit hour haven't been raised since 1990. He says the increase will help eventually keep the overall cost for students low. Christie Clinic and a doctor from Leroy both will have to readjust their proposals for new surgery centers in Champaign and Urbana if they're to get state approval. The Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board has issued intent to deny rulings against the proposals. One would have meant a new Christie Surgery Center in the future Clearview development on Champaign's far northwest side. Dr. Tom Plura says he'll restate his case that his proposed new surgery center in Urbana would provide services that aren't readily available currently. A man wanted on charges of aggravated assault and false imprisonment in New Mexico is under arrest in Terre Haute. Landis Wheeler of Monmouth, Illinois, was arrested after a brief standoff at a Terre Haute hotel yesterday. Bloomington-based State Farm is seeking to bar a federal judge's clerk from working on any of the lawsuits that Gulf Coast homeowners filed against the company after Hurricane Katrina. The clerk had sued a different insurer, Allstate, over storm damage to his own home. A State Farm attorney said in court papers that it creates an appearance of impropriety for the clerk to assist the judge who will deal with Katrina cases in Mississippi. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana, Broadcasting Service of the College of Communications. Pete Levitt's away this afternoon. Ed Kieser joins us in the studio, Chief Meteorologist here at WILL. Good afternoon to you, Ed.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rough week last week, but are we looking at things better for the week ahead?
Depends on your definition of better. We are going to have more stormy weather in the Midwest. A parade of storm systems will be coming through during the next couple of weeks. The first big one coming in on Saturday. Now, it will be a lot different than the big storm last week. We're going to get rain and not heavy snow this time around. But a lot of wind, a lot of rain. There could be some flooding problems, especially with the ground saturated and still some snow melting, especially the big piles of snow after digging out last week.
And then if you look a little farther out, or at least climatically, where are we supposed to be? Are we getting to the point where we're just about right temperature-wise?
Temperature-wise, yesterday we were right on average or thereabouts, for at least on the high side, and today we're a couple degrees below average. Just to put it in perspective, it feels a whole lot warmer than last week, but we're only up to near average right now. We're not above.
We're getting close to that March time frame. Some say that it comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb. What do you see?
I see a lion, because another storm system will come in about Thursday or Friday of next week, and that's the 1st and 2nd of March. And again, it looks like a wet weather system, although that storm is more than a week away, and if it tracks a little farther south, some snow could get into parts of Illinois. It does look like the storm we get this weekend and the one later next week could produce some heavy snow and blizzard conditions in the upper Midwest toward North Dakota and Minnesota. So the tracks of those storms will be very important. And the one that we're going to have this weekend will probably produce severe weather from southern Illinois southward into the middle and lower Mississippi valleys.
And then if we could wrap up with some thoughts that you might have on the El Niño, La Niña, and the change from one to the other, and NOAA's releases in the past week. What do you see? How does that impact your thoughts on the weather?
I would take all of that information with an extreme amount of caution, because the statistical correlations for El Niño and La Niña with Midwestern summer weather just are not all that strong. Some of the talk comparing it to 1988, we don't even have the same situation going on. Back in 88, there was a rapid drop in the sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean, but that was just one occurrence. It's not something you can base forecast on just on one occurrence. That sometimes things happen one way, sometimes another, and really there's just no correlation. So just use caution in making your decisions.
We're looking forward to having you and Steve Hilberg over at the Beef House next Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be getting on stage right after a nice big lunch.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll be able to keep everybody awake. I know you will. Ed Kieser, we appreciate you being in studio with us today.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser is the chief meteorologist here at WILL AM 580, joining us in the stead of Pete Levitt, who's away this afternoon. That is today's closing market report. You can always pick it up again if you'd like to hear the ag futures, the weather segment, or the cash grain segment right there on our website at WILLAG.org. And all of the great details of next Tuesday's All Day Ag Outlook meeting are there as well. They're at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.